So now I want to change gears here, and I want to go to the book of Haggai. Which is a pretty obscure book. It's kind of late. It's really late in the Old Testament. It's just two chapters, and I just want to read from the first chapter. I'll just read it. Chapter 1, Book of Haggai. We'll give people a chance to find it. I can't find it. That's one thing I haven't done yet is memorize those books. I think I have some of them memorized, but I still don't know all of them. But Book of Haggai 1 through 15. And I'm going to read this, and then I'll share a personal story that I have, why this is such a personal message to me years ago, and I'll tell you about that. And it's just, to me, it's a wonderful way how God has used the Bible to lead me and teach me and tell me about priorities. So from Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, I'm reading, and I favor the New Living Translation. That's my favorite version of the Bible. I don't like to put one version above another. That's just, for me, it's a personal preference. I'll start verse 1. On August 29th of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord gave me a message through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. The people are saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the Lord sent me this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much but harvest little. You eat but are not satisfied. You drink but are still thirsty. You put on clothes but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. Now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hoped for rich harvest, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. While all of you are busy building your own fine houses, it's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. I have called for a drought on your fields and hills, a drought to wither the grain and grapes and olive trees, and all your other crops, a drought to starve you and your livestock and to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people began to obey the message from the Lord their God. When they heard the words of the prophet Haggai, whom the Lord their God had sent, the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the people this message from the Lord. I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the enthusiasm of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people. They began to work on the house of their God, the Lord of Heaven's armies, on September 21st of the second year of King Darius' reign. So, what does this have to do with us? What I love about this, my personal testimony of this particular verse, this chapter, is I read this the first time I laid my eyes on this was late in 2007. Actually, no. You know what? This was, yeah, it was late 2007. I'm almost certain. You know, I don't remember. It was one of those first 2 years. What I'm trying to say is, I had the ideas for this website, back then, and I knew there was work to do. Yeah, it was 2008. It was actually when I was building the Reading Plan Creator, and the Reading Plan Creator is something I created, that God inspired me to make it so that someone can create their own reading plan. it's actually how Walt and I met, because Walt had a question about the reading plan creator, and he reached out to me about it. And so it's just really funny. That reading plan creator was kind of in the works. I'm a software designer, so he gave me this idea to do it. And so when I read this passage, I was busy. I had work to do. As everyone can relate, my plate was filled. And I had these aspirations to do the reading plan creator, and you know, how do you fit that in your time? No one was paying me a salary to develop the BibleTeam.com. No church gave me money to do it. No one said, Larry, if you do that website, I'm gonna give you, you know, whatever money to do it. I was not compensated in a natural way for that website. So when I read this, it just gave me the perspective I needed to give me the encouragement and the enthusiasm to do God's work. So I had all my work to do to keep my house afloat, to do, you know, to help us with bills or whatever. And then, you know, God put this on my heart to do this work for my website. And I read this, and I'm thinking, you know, he gave me the practical application of this. Because, my friends, the Old Testament, it's old, and it's about the Jews, but I'm convinced and I know in my heart that it applies to us just as much today.
Amen.
This concept of putting God first, these people weren't doing it. And look,
yes,
what happened as a result. This is what the Lord of Heaven has already said. Look what's happening to you. You've planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but are not satisfied. You drink, but are still thirsty. So all I'm trying to say was this convicted me. The Holy Spirit convicted me through this, and it inspired me to finish the work God gave for me for that website. So I took that as a personal message for Him, and I love that. I just love to think about how God taught me this. You know, it was just Him and me doing this together, and I can share this with you. So many years ago, and the only reason I met Walt is because of that reading plan creator. It's just like all these pieces came together, and you know, the whole plan was to get people into the Word. So anyway, that's one thing I wanted to share, was this story about putting God first. These people weren't doing it, and there's various reasons why they weren't. They stopped doing it because, I mean, they had their adversity. You know, when you read the book of Ezra, you read the book of Nehemiah, that kind of clues you in to what these people were up against. Nevertheless, they were inspired, encouraged, and it's a beautiful story about how God got their attention and got them on the right path. God's a very patient God. One thing you shared with Ernest is how God has been patient with you, and I just love that about Him. And I want everyone to know how patient God is, because they got the wrong ideas about God, and I want them to know just how good God is. Any comments? Go ahead, Ernest, please.
I see this story as when we become our selfish self, you know, we can never get things done. We can never fix things by ourselves, you know. But when we focus on God first, and we come to, like He said, they were trying to put their houses together. They wasn't. Yeah, His house is the church, which is us, the people. You know, we come together, we can accomplish things. And if we come together for God, then create His, satisfy and please Him, then our lives would be that much better. You know, because He oversees
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
You know? I just wanted to share that little bit, and I do understand the importance of putting him first, because without Him, there would be no us.
Amen. That's very, very well said. In other words, if we give ourselves over completely to God, we'll be far better off, because He's
Exactly.
the one that supplies our needs to begin with.
Amen.
So it's just aligning our lives with him is basically all we're sharing, and this is actually the lesson he taught the Jews to complete the work that they started with the temple. And we can use that today very practically, like I just stated. Any other comments on that account on Haggai?